Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
If God didn't do a miracle for you, don't think he can't or he won't, but he doesn't, because you are the better person for it.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
Faith is not so much accepting what God gives, but what he withholds. And I want you to hang on to that statement, because when you read Hebrews 11 in a much more painful and graphic way, in two English sentences, you find the rest of the story about those that are living by faith. How could it be that, God, you would allow people to go through painful, difficult parts of their life and come to the conclusion, I guess, that God really doesn't care? Or if he cared, he certainly wouldn't let these kind of things go on. Because when you read Hebrews 11, and we have gone through much of this, Hebrews 11 is the expression or examples of the exhortation, Hebrews 10, that the just will live by faith. And if the just are going to live by faith, then he begins laying out these many, many different examples we've been preaching over the last few months. And last week, we looked at those individuals that by faith were triumphant victors. These were people that had had conquest over their struggles. They escaped. And you read through these great victors and come to the conclusion, oh, man, God's on the throne. He's answering prayer. He's doing great things. Have you ever prayed for something and it just didn't happen? Did God not answer? Did God not care? And somewhere in your Christian life, my friend, you will get to the point that unless you base your life by faith, not feelings, not fears, not comparison to other people, by faith, you will come to the point of seeing people just like the ones we're going to look at today and others in verse 35, it says. And in verse 36, beginning of it, and others. And a whole litany, a whole list of people going through great difficulties. And when I read that, I realize that by faith, some were tragic victims. And they continued in suffering. They didn't escape. They endured. And notice what he says here, because this is the first of three statements that I want to expand on. When he says, first of all, and notice they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. A simple paraphrase that is, they refused to accept their freedom so they could be raised from death to a better life. One commentary made a statement this way, that they might be raised again to a better life, that is to say, that they might experience a resurrection better than a reprieve from death at the hand of their tormentors. They were in the place, in other words, number one of three statements I want to make to you today. What I think this passage is saying is, number one, that these individuals realized they didn't sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. It was a faith mindset that expressed itself, that they didn't sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. Let me read this for you. Notice it says in verse 36, and others, they had trial of cruel mockings. Old Testament examples of people, they were mocked, they were scourged, they were imprisoned. The Micaiah, who was slapped in the face and sent to prison for predicting the future in 1 Kings 22. Jeremiah, he was beaten by the officials of King Zedekiah and placed in prison in Jeremiah 37. The writer goes on, he says, it's not just cruel mockings and scourgings. And there were plenty of these. And it says they were stoned, which was the execution of choice for most in the Jews because of Israel, how many stones were there. He says it wasn't just stopping with stoning, but they were sawn asunder. He said, Pastor, that's kind of, you know, a little graphic. I'm not graphic, my friend. I didn't write this. I didn't put this in, because if I humanly was to put this in, I wouldn't put it in. Let's just ignore that. Let's kind of like, I don't think so. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about good things. And God evidently knew we needed to hear it. Because if we're going to have a mindset by faith, we're going to get to the place of realizing there were some people, godly people, that went through some painful experiences. He says they were also, notice in your Bible, they were tempted. What does he mean by that, they were tempted? Because they would intentionally bring some of these Christians that because of their faith we brought before their family, and their family begging them, please, please give this up. And if they didn't, they were also tempted. They were tempted morally. They were brought before lurid events in which they were to be drawn away. Hey, look what I can give to you. Hey, you can have this. Sexually driven. And yet they were by faith saying, I'm not going to turn away. They were slain with the sword. So many that to be unnumbered. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. I used to read that and think, oh, well, you know, they're just poor people. Obviously, they got their house taken away and stuff like that. You know, didn't have a lot of money and, you know, a good Christian minister, you know, Christian school teacher. And they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. And I'm doing a little reading. Find out, man, he's talking about more than that. And commentators are uncertain whether he's talking about those Christians that were literally sewn up in sheepskins and made to be pushed out into Circus Maximus there in Rome to become human sheep in order for the wild beasts and animals that were brought in from all parts of the known world to chew on and kill and maim and drag apart Christians. Because you're a Christian. You're a Christian, huh? You're really sewn into sheepskins. Or maybe it was those that could only imagine families having that father saying, you're a Christian, huh? Dragged out of the house, little children, mommy, I don't know, why are they taking? What are they doing with daddy? They're putting him in that goat skin. Mommy, what are they doing? They're like sewing them up and they're putting snakes inside of there, mommy. I heard that. I've heard that happen before. Mommy, don't let them do that. Mommy, why are they taking him away like that? I can hear daddy screaming in pain. Tell him he's not a Christian anymore, mommy. Maybe it's having that dad to say to that child, I can't do anything. I can't do anything because mommy's she's put into this goatskin bag all I can tell you, son, is she's a Christian. She's there with hundreds of others. They've been sewn into those sacks and put on the shoreline in low tide, knowing that only in a matter of hours the tide would rise. And the weighted bag of the goatskin where those individuals were there in the bag to drown, a slow, agonizing, horrible way to die. Why? Because they didn't pay their taxes? Why? Because they're a Jew? No, because they're a Christian. Oh, you call yourself Christian. You know what that does to a family? You know what it does to a little child? I didn't write this, my friend. But the writer of Hebrews moves forward with horrible events. And then he says they were destitute, they were afflicted. You could pick up the Maccabeans of the intertestamental period between the end of the Old Testament and about a 400 period before you end up picking history again in the New Testament of the Maccabeans that had horrible, painful, painful persecution going on. And when I read through all that, the writer says this because not only, number one, that they didn't sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate, but they had a faith mindset that led them to say, number two, that the most godly Christian often will endure the most pain and unexplained tragedy. You find these individuals, this was not narcissism, this wasn't self-inflicted pain, this was because of a Christian testimony. These were the ones that were going through all of this pain and difficulty because the Bible says that there are some Christians that are going to go through that. I don't know whether it is one person said there are some Christians that have so lost sight of the next world that they have become ineffective in the present world. Could it be? That's why God documents this to say, you know what? They're still living by faith, my friend. They're not these individuals that had these great conquests. These are individuals that continued. These were Christians. And the most godly Christians often will endure that most pain. And the Bible says, as we read on with this passage, and you find in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. You see, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, as the Bible says in verse 38. Could he be speaking of John the Baptist? Fact is, John the Baptist himself, who the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 in verse 48, says John the Baptist was a great man. Fact is, Jesus said there was not a greater man born of woman. And he even got discouraged because he was in prison. And he was so shaken to the core that he went to prison. He asked if Jesus was the Messiah, thinking, why can't he get me out of prison? Is this for sure you? He knew it was. He was the one that earlier had said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Boy, it does my heart well to know, you know, these individuals, by faith, also had to struggle with those discouragements and difficulties. And you know what? Christ showed his works. Listen, if God didn't do a miracle for you, don't think he can't or he won't. But he doesn't, because you are the better person for it. Because his ways are not our ways. Neither his thoughts our thoughts. Neither can we know them. When you get to the place and I get to the place and realize, you know, God, you could do that miracle. But you know that we are a better person without it. You say, well, Pastor, you know, that's a nice way to manipulate words, you know, kind of to get yourself in this right mindset. No, that's not. Because God himself documents, this is why. It is summed up in the phrase, of whom the world was not worthy. And the difficulty is, we many times lean on others' explanations rather than leaning on the promises of God. Did you understand that? Because if you move the place, I'm leaning on some explanation. You say, well, I don't have a lot of persecution. I'm not a martyr. Maybe we're the worst off for it. I thank God for the freedoms we have. I'm not like, you know, let's have the self-inflicted pain. God's chosen out of his grace to allow America and in this place, our own territory, to enjoy some freedoms. I'm thankful for that. But it doesn't mean that I just ignore then that suffering and difficulties of others. And that's why in Hebrews 13, he picks up that theme again. When he says a couple of chapters later in verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Remember those that are in prison as if you were in prison. He says in verse 3 of chapter 13, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Even those that are suffering, you enter into that. And you know what that'll do? That'll take you out of your lethargy and move you to realize, you know what, just because I've got it good right now does not mean I'm always going to end up having it that good. And there are Christians even today, go to Sudan, go to China, go to the formerly USSR, go to Indonesia, pick up websites, pick up magazines, and you will find too many to number Christians, even today, that are being suffering and they're in pain and they're in prison. And the only way that we sit here with so many good things and be so thankful is to realize, God, I got to enter in to say there are others that are in much more pain and worse off than we are right now. And it'll keep us to a place of realizing, God, I still have to come to the point that realize the most godly Christians often will endure the most pain and unexplained tragedy. And I'm going to tell you something right now. This also applies on a simple day-to-day basis. The worst thing a church can do is start making definitions about spirituality on the basis of people's difficulties and problems.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.